Hello, Grinders, and welcome to the Daily Fantasy Fix Pod. I'm your host, Travis Mangone, here to break down the NBA slate for you here over on Fantasy Draft and talk about some of the, best plays of the day. Excited. This is a pretty good slate, actually. There's a lot of different routes to go. A lot of games alike, right? We have like a 225 team total, 230, a 219, just some good games to attack. And then there's even some other ones with lower totals that are good too. So I'm definitely excited for it. I'm sure we have, as usual, value coming, so be on the lookout for that throughout the day. But for now, let's get started talking about these games. The first game we have on the slate for you is the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Orlando Magic. It's a 225.5 team total. And man, it's really interesting because I was someone that's been like just firmly not playing the Cavs recently. I've just been like, this team is terrible and I really just don't want to roster them, right? Like, it's not a good spot. I'm not saying I don't roster all of them, but it's like I temper my expectations compared to how it was earlier in the year. So now they have the Magic. The Magic are one of the worst teams in the league. I mean, this is a great team to target all the time, so it's going to be a problem trying to, not want to play a guy like LeBron James. It does seem like a guy like LeBron has kind of quit. Like, and again, you never know. This is like the great bounce back spot. You never know what happens in meetings, but it does seem like he's kind of not giving up completely, but he's just fed up with it, and it just seems like he's kind of beaten down, right? It's just game after game. It just feels like loss after loss, and it's just nothing is improving and nothing is changing. He went to the, like, just as far to basically say to the reporters, he said, like, we're so bad we should be taken off of national TV the rest of the year. I mean, it's just horrible. But LeBron is in play. If I have him to pay up for him, I will. I don't think I'm going to like go out of my way and prioritize him or anything like that, just because there's a star I'm already prioritizing, I think. But if, you know, the raw points kind of fit in the way my lineup shakes up and LeBron fits, sure, I think it's fine. But I'm not going out of my way for him still. Tristan Thompson, I like him at 4.7K. Not 4.7K. What's his price over here? It is, gotta refresh this real quick. It is it's not on the fantasy draft slate. I'm looking at the wrong Roto-Grinders page. So they kept that one game off. So actually, on fantasy draft, we don't have to worry about that game. But I'll keep breaking this game down anyways, because I think it's important for the slate. And then obviously we'll get back into it with fantasy draft. But so the Cleveland Cavaliers, I really don't want to roster a ton of them. Like, Isaiah Thomas, I get it. Orlando's terrible against point guards. Wherever you can find Isaiah cheap, sure. But I don't know. I think it's mainly, if they win this game, I think it's going to be off of, like, the back of LeBron. I really think it's going to be him doing all the work. So I'll take LeBron and Tristan Thompson. I think it's a cheap value because the Magic still, I know Bismack Biyombo's down there and a lot better on the boards. But with Biyombo being in there, I assume the game doesn't go small, right? And they, basically get him more runs. So I like Thompson and LeBron. Those are the main two targets I'm going to have. And then I'm probably not going to mess around with anyone else unless we get news that like someone's out. I don't know. I mean, I know Dwayne Wade is dealing with, an illness, but we kind of have to wait on that news. So that's going to be very important. If he ends up being out, right, then that might put me on Thomas a little bit more. I could see it maybe getting some interest in Jeff Green, but I really think Jeff Green's interest has kind of gone down since Isaiah returned. So if Wade or Green is out, then you kind of take one or the other. But now with Thomas there, it just takes up too much usage. So probably more so if Wade is out, then you go over to a guy like Thomas. So but again, it's LeBron and Tristan Thompson for me. And then if Wade is out, I guess I'd put some interest in Isaiah Thomas. But that's about it for that side of the ball. The Orlando Magic, what do we do with them? It's tough because Cleveland, they're a team that plays no defense either, and I definitely would like to target them. I think the way I go is Elfrid Payton. I mean, the upside this guy has is just very immense. It's just very, he can go for 50 very easily. Like, I get it, it can be ugly at times, but this is the Cavs. Like, so if I'm going to run it back with anyone, maybe not him is the only guy, but I think he's like the tournament guy I would like to run it back with. The guy I like in cash, and I like him in tournaments too, is Mario Hezonja. I get it. I don't like taking shooters on the second night of a back-to-back, but Hezonja has been very good value, very safe, consistent, and showed some upside yesterday. Maybe he can keep it going here against the Cavs, who struggle against the three ball. So I like Hezonja as a really nice value play on this slate. Evan Fournier, like, again, the guy's like, if he's hitting his threes, he's going to hit the value well, and then if not, he's just going to, maybe limp his way there or just completely miss it. So I don't know. I'm not a big Fournier fan. I don't think I'm going to play him today. It just doesn't seem like it's going to fit my build. So it looks like I'm going to pass on him at this time. And then Bismack Biyombo, I don't think we need to play him. It's really going to be Mario Hezonja and Elfrid Payton are the two main targets on Orlando. Now, head on over to Fantasy Draft at 7:30, because 7:30 is when the lock is going to be for that site. It's a cool new thing that Fantasy Draft has been doing for the past, I don't know, has it been a month now? It's been a while, though. But still kind of new, right? Because people might not know about it. Fantasy Draft is locking at 7:30. So if you don't know that, you can make all your lineups on other sites and then head on over to Fantasy Draft and do the slate at 7:30. Like, it's just better, right? Instead of having to juggle so many teams, you can just put your main focus in those last 30 minutes to Fantasy Draft. And obviously put some focus on it earlier in the day. But when you're trying to button things up, it's hard to juggle sites and try and make everything perfect. And then you worry at times that you messed up on one site where it helped made you mess up on another. And then it's just like a domino effect and you lose like terribly. So check that out. But let's head on over and see what the first game is over there. We have the Milwaukee Bucks and the New York Knicks at 205 team total. And this is not really a game I'm in love with here. I get it, right? Giannis, he's good. He's a star. He can go off on any slate. I totally understand. But I don't know. I don't see myself really playing Giannis on this slate. There's already some small forwards I already like. On top of that, it's like, man, like, I don't know, I might actually play LeBron over Giannis, and I don't really want to say that, but, like, it's Orlando. I mean, Orlando's a fun team to target, but again, they're not on Fantasy Draft. But on, like, Giannis, though, man, like, he is such a good player, and it's just, like, there's these stars in the Golden State Warriors and Thunder game. I just think he's going to go overlooked for me, and it's quite unfortunate, and obviously he's a star and can go off on any time. So, I think I'm going to end up fading him, and I'm probably going to fade a lot of these guys, right? Like, I know Brogdon's out, but, like, Middleton just doesn't seem like he's fitting my build at this time, so I don't think I'm going to be getting any exposure to Middleton. I get it, though. His price is nice. It just kind of depends on if it fits the build, and I don't know. I just don't see it really fitting at this time, but we like taking guys that are going to put up a lot of three balls and, like, ball handle against the Knicks, and, you know, Middleton will do a ton of that for sure. Bledsoe, right, he has upside too. That's another guy that's going to have the ball in his hands a ton. I mean, those are like the main three core guys, Bledsoe, Middleton, and Giannis. I think they're all in play for tournaments, and I don't think they're going to have a lot of ownership. So I think you can go with them. John Henson is a hard pass for me against the Knicks. I mean, just going to struggle down low and let the rebounding that the Knicks have been doing. They're just very good on the board, so I don't think it's necessary to play them. I think Giannis and Bledsoe, Middleton, they're all perfectly fine and in play. You can make the argument on Fantasy Draft that Bledsoe is 1,000 cheaper, so hey, go over to Bledsoe. But I don't know. I think Middleton, you know, the more and more I think about it, I think he's like in play on like a site like FanDuel where you have to play two shooting guards, but oh, it's going to be tough. For some reason on this slate, just doesn't seem like these Bucks are going to fit my teams today. New York Knicks, though, Porzingis and Kanter, they're both in play because they're playing the Bucks, and the Bucks struggle on against big men, and they struggle on the boards. Both of them could have very big games. I get it for sure. I don't think I'm going to play Porzingis, though. He just doesn't seem like he gets there, even at that price of 15.3K. It seems like his ceiling is him barely getting there. It's been really frustrating all year long. So for me, like, Kristaps Porzingis is a guy I think I'm just going to stay away from. Like, if you look at the game logs here, again, it's just, he's been really frustrating. I'll do DraftKings for it. 8.4K. Here's what he's done. Last game against Atlanta, 50 fantasy points, which was great. That, haven't seen much of that all year. Then it's 29.75, 31.5, 45.75, 37.75, 31.75, 28.5, 30. And, like, some of these matchups here are, like, the Lakers, the Suns. I mean, you know, against Memphis, he randomly got 51.25. Sure, he can do that, right? Porzingis is considered, he's in the star category, right? Maybe he's not the LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry star yet, but one day he'll probably get there. But he can easily go off on any time. And if you like the spot for him, go for it. But for me, I'm not going to be doing that. Other than that, those two guys, like, I don't need to play Tim Hardaway Jr., Courtney Lee, like, Jared Jack. Those guys are just not necessary for me on this slate, and I'll just pass on them. Boston Celtics and the Toronto Raptors, 205.5 team total. This is definitely a game that, you know, it's more of like the playoff atmosphere, right? We have two clash of, like, division or Eastern Conference, one and two teams basically at the top. Kind of, you know, playoff type atmosphere it's going to feel like. Kyrie Irving is going to be playing in this game, so that's definitely going to change some things with Horford with that news. So definitely have to adjust with that. No Marcus Smart still, I believe. I don't think he'll play this game. He is still out, so no need to worry about that. We still have Shane Larkin news. You know, have to wait and see what he's going to do, but we're not expecting him to be back until the All-Star break, it says. So, I don't think he's going to be back. I don't think he changes that much. Marcus Morris is the key one. That's going to be very important. They say he's going to participate in shoot-around, so, he hopes to be available. We'll see if he is available, but that's going to be very important news for sure. So, Honestly, I really don't think I'm playing any Celtics. It just seems like these guys are now priced up for the situation that they were in. And, you know, if Marcus Morris sits, but I feel like Marcus Morris is going to try for this game. This is definitely going to be an important game for the Celtics, and they're going to kind of want to, make it more of like a playoff game type thing and just really grind this thing out and actually try their best. So I really think that I'm just going to fade these Celtics completely just because prices are up, right? I'm not paying a 7K Terry Rozier with Kyrie back. I'm not going to pay for Tatum. I think he's a fine play, but 6.1K, I prefer Tatum when he gets a little cheaper. So Al Horford too, right? He's really expensive. 7.7K, I don't need to pay that price tag for Horford. There's better plays that I can get. Let's see what Clint Capella, he is. He's cheaper. So, yeah, there's no reason to not I just don't need to play Al Horford. We know exactly what's happened with him. Price has gone up, no need to play him. So I will pass on Horford and and all the Celtics and just move on. Toronto Raptors, right? Now they're going up against the best defensive team in the league, or maybe not the best, but one of the best, right? Slower tempo team to, this is a low total for the Raptors. Raptors have been playing at a pretty fast pace, and now they're playing against a slow-paced team. I just think it's a good fade game in general. Like, this is a fun one to watch. If you want to watch a good basketball game, this is a fun one to watch. But for fantasy purposes, I think we can definitely stay away from this one, and it's not that too necessary to play. Sure, Jonas Valanciunas has been really good recently, but price is starting to go up, and I expect them to put Baynes on them a little bit, and Baynes is a pretty tough defender down low. So, yeah, I'm going to pass on this game completely, and let's move on to some more appealing ones, because, again, this slate has some good ones. And here comes one of them. It's Houston Rockets and the Brooklyn Nets. 215.5 team total with the Rockets as 11-point road favorites. And my first look at the at this game is like, man, I normally am really interested in Rockets, but with all the games that we have on this, like there's those two other games that are high totals on the slate, I'm kind of a little worried about playing this game. Just because I could see a blowout, I fear that a little bit. Eric Gordon is going to be back for this game as well, so that injury news is definitely important, and expected to be back, so we don't know for sure, but if he does play, that's definitely going to cut into playing guys like Harden, Gerald Green, and Chris Paul. Again, Harden and Paul not so much, as mainly Gerald Green is where it's really going to hurt, but again, that's still, that little bit helps Eric Gordon. Mike D'Antoni said that Trevor Ariza is likely out, so we'll have to see what's coming up here. He's missing the entire road trip coming up. So, I don't think he'll be playing. And I'll obviously leave minutes for Amute. That'll be minutes for PJ Tucker and maybe some for Gerald Green, too. Ryan Anderson, I think he is just way too cheap around the industry. So I like getting him in tournaments. Clint Capella is the guy I like a lot, though. I mean, Clint Capella, we always see him with a nice cheap price tag. On Fantasy Draft, we have Clint Capella's price tag at 13.6K. It's pricier than usual. We normally get him in the 12K range, sometimes 13K. But, I still like Capella here. I mean, this is too good of a spot to not play Clint Capella. So I'll get me some Clint Capella exposure for sure on this slate. I think he's a guy you want to roster. Just the Nets are so bad on the board. So I like him a lot. That's mainly where I'm going to be looking, is like that front court, attacking the Nets in the front court instead of the back court. I like attacking the Nets in the back court. But it's just a matter of, do I have the money to spend for a Chris Paul or a James Harden when I kind of want to pay for a Russell Westbrook or a Steph Curry? Like, there's just that one game is just going to be too good to pass up, it seems like. So I don't know. It's going to be tough for me to do that. And then, like I say, we'll get to it. Like, Lakers Suns is another good one because there's just going to be a lot of value there. It's tough, man. It's very tough to play a lot of these guys in this game. And I just think it's the front court is where I'm really going to get my, get my exposure. Nets side of the ball, it's pretty much complete fade. I mean, Damari Carroll, I think, is a nice, safe option. That's how I feel about the Nets. Pretty much Carroll's like the one guy that I feel safe about almost on any night. And then Jared Allen, he's starting to get way too priced up. Like, you're going to pay 11.3K for Jared Allen at this point? No, thanks. I will just completely pass on him. And unless I hear that, D'Angelo Russell is getting an increase in minutes, I'm just going to stay away from the Nets and kind of call it a day. Next game on the slate, Memphis Grizzlies and the Atlanta Hawks, 205.5 team total. And again, not an appealing game to look at here, but we'll break it down for you. And again, no one gets up for Memphis Grizzlies and Atlanta Hawks basketball, but the value that could be here is very interesting. Tyreke Evans, they're sitting him until he gets traded, basically, so they're trying to make a move. And we kind of have to just wait on the news of what they're going to do, who's going to play, who's going to sit, because that's going to be very important with the Grizzlies. If we look at the injury report here, and again, early in the day, still trying to see what they're going to do, but we have Tyreke Evans obviously not playing, coach's decision. Then we got questionable Wayne Selden. That's probably the biggest news that we have on this team. Chandler Parsons, he is still out. And then we have Davis. He is going to be out too. So the big news, though, is really Seldon. If Seldon doesn't play, I think I'm going to load up on Andrew Harrison if I can. Problem is, point guard is kind of loaded. So, but I like Andrew Harrison. He's a guy I think I'd want to get exposure to. And, you know, on Fantasy Draft, we can get exposure to a lot of different guards, so that's okay. Mario Chalmers, too, I would like him as well. I think he's a fine play. It's just going to be between those two guys are going to be the main targets. Other than that, though, like, I'm not going to be going crazy with Dylan Brooks, you know, Jamichael Green, Gerald Martin, all these other. The front court is not really where my main focus will be. My main focus will be in the backcourt, and will be with Andrew Harrison and Mario Chalmers. Atlanta side of the ball, I will just completely fade them. No need to play any of these guys on this slate. In my opinion, you know, we can look at some of the price tags, right? Dennis Schroeder is normally typically cheap. 12.5 is very cheap for him. And, you know, getting against Chalmers and Andrew Harrison defense, I guess that sounds fine, right? There's upside, but I don't know. I don't think I need to do it on this slate. I just doesn't seem necessary. If I play one, though, it'll be Schroeder just because he's too cheap for the amount of, you know, production he basically gets, and I'll kind of call it a day. But it's interesting to see that the Hawks are 3-point favorites, right? We don't see this too often, so yeah, I think Schroeder is the one guy that I might have a little bit of interest in. But let's go on to the next game. Washington Wizards, Philadelphia 76ers, 213 team total. And yeah, we still have no John Wall, so you guys know what that means. All these Wizards guys, they're starting to get a little, keep getting priced up and up and up, but there's still some meat on the bone, I think, for some of these guys. So I have some interest in some Wizards. I know Bradley Beal was very disappointing yesterday, totally understand, but I do think it's a good reason to go back to the well. We know you like to target Sixers with some guards. Yeah, I think Bradley Beal's a really good play. If you have the money for him, sure, but again, I don't think he's a guy you want to prioritize. Like yesterday, we were really prioritizing him, not only because of the matchup, but just the way the slate was, right? The, you know, the type of guys to pay for. There weren't these absolute studs and just like these amazing spots in the next game coming up. So, but I think Bradley Beal's definitely in plays in my player pool and someone I will be considering. One guy who's been really interesting that, like, people may not be aware of it is Thomas Sanerenski. Like, he has been, like, pretty good. I didn't see what he did yesterday for sure. I'm trying to pull it up now. But I know recently he's been so good. Yeah, so here's his game log. 24.1, 27, 22.6, 36.6, 22.4. His price around the industry, again, it's starting to get a little priced up, but I think he's, like, a fine, safe cash game play. I don't hate it. So he's a guy I think you wouldn't mind getting exposure to. Otto Porter, too, I think he's a decent play. Don't hate him, but I really like Markieff Morris. That price tag on Fantasy Draft at 12.1K is too cheap. I think he fits that forward spot well, and as long as he doesn't get, you know, stuck on Embiid a lot and get in any foul trouble, he should be fine, but I don't think that'll be the case. I'm sure they'll have a Gortat or a Mahimi on him all game long. You know, a guy like Markieff can't handle that, so they'll put him on probably a guy like Dario Saric for a lot of the game. So, yeah, I like Markieff. He's probably my favorite Wizards play here. But Beal, too, if you have the money for him, great. But that's the problem. I don't know if I'm going to have that money for Bradley Beal today. That's kind of one of the issues. Philadelphia 76ers, Joel Embiid, man, that price tag is 16.7K on Fantasy Draft. That's just insane to me, right? Like, when do we see this type of guy at this price? It's just way too cheap on him. He kind of just feels like a lock, right? Like, I don't know. It's tough to kind of fade a guy that has that type of price tag, a 16.7K. He's, like, just such a stud. So, yeah, I don't know, man. Joel Embiid, he's definitely going to be a guy I think I'm going to end up rostering on this slate for sure on Fantasy Draft. So, yeah, give me some Joel Embiid. Love that price tag. I'll have to look. Let me see what he is on other sites because it's just weird that he's oddly cheap over there, and I just want to double-check and make sure. 9.5K on DraftKings. So, again, that's great value over there, too. So, for a guy like Joel Embiid, you can't complain about that. And then FanDuel, 10.1K. So, yeah, the DraftKings and Fantasy Draft price tags are just very cheap on Joel Embiid. So, I have to like him a lot. So, that's a guy that I would definitely get exposure to against the Wizards here. If I play anyone else, like, I'm not playing Ben Simmons right now. I know the price at 14.7K is good. The guy's just, I don't know, there's just other ways I'd rather spend my money. I don't know, I love the kid, but he's definitely struggled since that, like, breakout to start the year. Sure, he's, you know, had some good games here and there, and again, he's kind of one of those guys that he's going to be a star, right? He can have a big game at any time, but I don't know, he's just a little too inconsistent for me at that current price tag, and it seems like whenever he goes off, it's like he's hitting your ceiling at that price. So yeah, I'm gonna pass on that one. No Ben Simmons for me. JJ Redick, I actually don't mind him. If you need a cheap guy at guard, I think this could be a decent spot for him. Don't hate him. Again, like Robert Covington too, like a guy that could, you know, get some good good turnover production. You know, he's a guy like just like in like, these back and forth type of games, so he can get like lots of steals, right? You know, just transition threes. So I like Covington a little bit too, and Saric, he's a little too priced up for me though. But I more so it's just Embiid is my favorite play, and then Covington and Redick are guys I'd maybe sprinkle on my teams. Let's go to the game of the night, though. 230 team total, the game that everyone's going to be watching, the game you want to watch, is Oklahoma City Thunder and the Golden State Warriors. It's really unfortunate that the Thunder do not have Andre Roberson for this game, because, man, that would be a lot more exciting, because defensively they really look like they need him, at least in the six games it's been so far. Again, I sound ridiculous saying they need Andre Roberson, but he's definitely needed on the defensive end for sure. He's not the greatest basketball player, but we got to give him props for his defense at least. But yeah, Russell Westbrook, I want to pay for him. He's the guy I want. Like, I want to be loading up on him. Problem is, can I play him, right? Like, I think it's a really good conversation today. I'm going to just start this off because I play a lot of FanDuel. Again, on FanStraft, you can play a ton of guards, but I think it's a really good conversation on a site like FanDuel is there's three guards that I'm really going to be keying in on today, right? Point guards. And I think on Fantasy Draft, you should just jam them in. I think it's a great idea. Tyler Ulis, who's in the next game, he's going to be a guy that's going to be a screaming value that you're going to want to get exposure to. That's going to get a ton of minutes with Devin Booker out, right? Guy you would definitely want to play. Russell Westbrook, you want to play him against the Warriors, right? It's a fantastic spot. Like, how do you not play him? It's just too good of a spot for him. Up-tempo game against the guy Kevin Durant, who he hates, you know, a little revenge there. You know he's just petty as anything. So, I mean, you have to love Westbrook. And then you have Steph Curry, who against Oklahoma City Thunder, just in a 230 team total, the guy could absolutely go off, and he's 2k cheaper than Russell Westbrook. He's actually 2.1k cheaper on FanDuel. Let's see what he is on DraftKings, and then we'll look at Fantasy Draft. Fantasy Draft, I actually have that up now. He is, Russell Westbrook is 20.9k, and Steph Curry is 18.5k. So again, it's a huge discount to a guy like Curry. I would probably want to mash both guys in, but if you have to pick only one, it's tough because I can get Curry for such a discount. It's crazy. And then over on DraftKings, the price tag is 9.6k and 11.5k. So again, it's like a 2k difference. So what do you do there? Again, I don't know what we do until we like kind of get more news. I think it's going to be something like you have to like wait and see, take that wait and see approach. But if you know, if that extra 2k gives you a nice upgrade, I could see fading Westbrook. I could totally see it if that extra 2k is a big enough upgrade. You just really have to wait and see, but I really think you're going to have to play Tyler Ulis. He's going to be some people might play a Westbrook and a Curry route, and if value opens up other positions, sure, I think that makes sense. But I really want to make sure I'm going to get Tyler Ulis. He's going to be a great guy to get exposure to today, and you're not going to want to miss out on your lineups. But anyways, back to that game. Let's talk about this one. Westbrook, obviously a guy you want to like. I think Paul George is an interesting play too. You know, it's not one of my favorite plays, but it's definitely a high, fast-paced game. He's going to have to deal with Kevin Durant and Draymond Green on defense though, which definitely has me a little bit concerned for sure. Definitely slightly concerned, but again, I'm trying to find ways to get exposure to the Thunder if I don't play Westbrook. I'm trying to think through what would be the best. Like, I think Steven Adams is a good way to do it. Steven Adams is going to be in the game regardless, right? They're not going to take this guy out, I don't think, unless they go to like, will they go the Jerry and Grant route and like just get some of these other forwards and like Patrick Patterson and will it cut in Adams? I don't think they should do that, but they might for a little bit, never know. But again, there's a lot of rebounding opportunity for him. I have to like him. This seems like a game that would fit Snick and Carmelo Anthony well, and I hate this dude, but just going back and forth and trading threes, right? That's kind of Melo's game, is shooting the three ball and just getting buckets. One thing I will always give this guy is he can score. Problem is the peripherals, right? Will he fall into some stuff, some rebounds, assists? Possibly, but I don't know. For some reason, I'm thinking if I want to get exposure to this game, I might go the cheap route with a guy like Carmelo Anthony, and I really hate saying that because I actually hate playing that guy. Like, he's just a guy I don't like to play, but he's popping in the model for me. I don't know. It seems like it might be him. Like, he might be my favorite way to get exposure to the Thunder right now, and it sounds gross to say, but again, I think Steven Adams and Westbrook is probably my favorite way if I had to pick, but if I'm going to suck picking between Ulis, Westbrook, and Curry, it's going to be a really close decision. I want it to be Westbrook really bad. I'm hoping it is, but because fading Westbrook is a scary thing, but you never know. I just think it's more of a conversation than some people might say, oh, just Jim and Westbrook. I don't know. I think it's going to be more of a conversation, but I like Westbrook. I even like Carmelo, which is odd for me to say. If you listen to what I, things I talk about in sports, I don't like Melo, but I think in this spot it could actually work well. and then Adams. Those are the three. More I think about it, Paul George, probably not going to do it. Again, I was just trying to find ways to get exposure to Thunder without playing Westbrook, but I'm going to play Westbrook, it seems like. This is going to be a fun debate going back and forth. And sorry to bore you about it, but again, I think when you're on sites where you have to play two point guards, it's really tough. But if you don't, like, go to over to DraftKings or a fantasy draft mainly, I mean, you can just load up on guards. So head on over and do that. Let's talk about the Warriors, though. How do you want to get exposure to them? That's going to be important to, like, figure out, because we want to get exposure to that team. I think Curry's a great way to do it, and I think he's very cheap. So he's a guy I would like to, you know, approach it with. I think Draymond Green, right? He's another guy. I think he could fit this game well. And I kind of, I kind of like playing him more than Durant, just because I feel like there's a nice discount, and I feel like Durant has not been really crushing like normal. I think this is a good spot for him, though, right? He's in the revenge spot against the Thunder. You have to like that. If you have the money to spend on Kevin Durant, I would love to spend on Kevin Durant, but I don't think I'm going to. I think there's some other, you know, value guys that I'd prefer at the small forward position, but I think Kevin Durant is obviously a good play with the revenge on his side, for sure. If I don't play, you know, if I don't play one of these guys, it's Klay Thompson is the guy I wouldn't play. Sure, he can have the upside game. I know, I get it, right? If he hits the three ball and knocks it down, he'll be on the winning tournament team if he's just going absolutely insane, but he has been doing that a ton, and I just don't think we need to take a chance on that. Like, I think Klay Thompson is one of those guys that if you just, like, wait until that price tag is, like, super low and it's, like, in that dream spot, play him in that spot, then you're perfectly fine. And then just that, those are the only times you need to really play him. I'm not going to play him here in this spot. No need for me to. Let's go on to the next game, though. I don't think many of these, I think it's, like, mainly the Warriors core four the guys look at, and I don't think any of the bench guys are really too interesting. Maybe like Andre Iguodala, maybe, maybe it's like a value, but I don't think you need to do that on this slate. I think it's fine. Here, let's go to the next game, though. This game is very good, too. Phoenix Suns and the Lakers. We'll start with the Suns. Give me Tyler Ulis with Devin Booker being out. You have to love Tyler Ulis. There's no Cannon. I mean, he's just going to get tons of run. You have to like him. I think Josh Jackson, he's a guy that's been getting more run recently and been playing pretty well. I'm going to take Josh Jackson. I think he's a good play, but I like TJ Warren a little bit more. I'll find that extra money. I mean, with no Booker, TJ Warren will be chucking up a ton of shots. So TJ Warren and Tyler Ulis are currently my two favorite targets on that side of the ball. I think Tyson Chandler is not a terrible play. Not my favorite, but again, I think he's like in the conversation, right? Alexson will probably play, so that won't, you know, if he for miraculously doesn't play, but he returned to action the other day. Only played 11 minutes. Tyson Chandler then ended up going out there for 33. I'm curious if the minutes will be, kind of split like that again. I don't think it will. I think maybe Len will go up to like 18, and then you'll see Chandler back down to the mid-20s. That sounds about right. But, I think I don't think we need to be doing that. So I'm fine with that. Marquese Chris, he's a guy that's like in the conversation. Everyone might be wondering what happened the past couple games. 13 minutes, then had a suspension the next game, so that's why he didn't play. I think he's more of a tournament play and could fit this game style really well. Not really a cash game play for me, but I think in tournaments he could be interesting. To kind of, button the Suns up a little bit, it's Ulis and Warren are my two favorite plays. Have to love them. I think they're guys you just want to get exposure to. Josh Jackson, too, I think he's a good play. Starting to get a little priced up, but I still think he's in the conversation. Chris, I think, is a very great tournament play. And then, I won't be playing those centers, but I get the argument for Tyson Chandler, but I won't be doing it. I think there's better ways to spend your money at center today. All right, let's go to the Lakers. And, I really don't think I'm playing many of them. Again, it's a good spot. I get it. I was listening to the Morning Grind, and I heard Stevie talk about how it's a good KCP spot. He's been good at getting KCP right throughout, the DFS time he's been doing this. So I understand KCP. I think it's fine, but, man, it's hard to stomach for me from what he's been doing. But I get it, right? It makes sense in tournaments. It's a good tournament play. Jordan Clarkson, I think, could actually have a pretty big game here in this spot. You know, it's the Phoenix Suns. It's one of the best guard, matchups for him to have. Like, I mean, this is a good spot for Jordan Clarkson. He's the guy I think I prefer. I like him a lot. I don't mind Brandon Ingram. I think this is a good spot to game stack, right? These guys are not, like, too expensive where I think you can just, like, game stack, like, maybe, like, two guys on each side and kind of make it, end up still getting stars in. So I like maybe getting two guys on the Lakers side of the ball. I think it makes a ton of sense. You can go a guy like a Brandon Ingram, even a, Kyle Kuzma, right? I think he's interesting. He's been really bad recently, so I probably won't play him, but I think it's really like Clarkson and Ingram, but I wouldn't be shocked if like a Kuzma came out of nowhere, like a Larry Nance, right? Any of that could happen. It's just you never know with Luke Walton. I think Julius Randle, he's been really good recently. They're trying to trade him, so he's the guy that I'd prefer in the front court if I had to pick any of them. That's really the guy. I know I talked about all these Lakers, so let me kind of narrow it down for you. If I had to pick the three Lakers I would probably target on this slate, it'd be Jordan Clarkson, probably number one for me, followed by Brandon Ingram, and then probably followed by Julius Randle then. But I get the KCP thing. I think that was a good call by Stevie. Again, those other guys, they've been just too inconsistent recently. And Luke Walton, I'm just going to trust what he's been doing with the rotation. And I think it's a really good spot to kind of game stack some of these guys, right? Go a Warren, go a Ulis, pair them up with maybe a Clarkson and an Ingram, or like a Clarkson and a Randle, and then you know, maybe find like another value play, and then like throw in like a stud like a Curry, a Westbrook. I think that could be a very interesting build. So check that out. Again, guys, thanks a lot for joining me. Really, you know, enjoyed doing the podcast. I'll be back for the rest of the week. Dan Bach is busy doing some other stuff, so he asked me to fill in for the rest of the week. So thanks a lot for joining. If you guys have any, you know, anything you want me to say on the podcast, any, you know, any, try maybe a different format, you know, to try and help out, make this different, just trying to do the best for you guys. So, yeah, just give me a follow on Twitter. It's at Travis Mangone, TravisMangone. And if you have anything to help me out, make the podcast a little bit better, I'll do my best. If you have any ideas, you know, say you want some, you know, lock and load plays, say you want guys in certain tiers or certain stuff, just give me a follow over there and just send me a message, and I'll be happy to try and do my best this week to provide the best content for you. So again, thanks a lot for joining me. For me, Travis Mangone, I am out.